words give thanks would be an appropriate text to use for a Thanksgiving service. But I want to get behind the give thanks. I want to get to the why of the give thanks. Because the psalmist supplies us with the why, doesn't he? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He's good. And that's where I kind of want to camp for just a few moments with you. The fact that the Lord is good. I find that repeatedly in life, I have to keep going back to the things I learned in Sunday school, in kindergarten and first grade. Do you, as adults, do you ever feel that way? That you, in some sense, never grow past or never master so well the very simple basic truths that you learned as a child, so that you still have to go back and relearn them and recommit them to your heart. I certainly live in that place. And so the psalmist calls us to give thanks. The give thanks is an imperative. It's something that we are called to do. Repeatedly in Scripture, God's people are instructed to give thanks. One of the things that is to mark the lives of Christians is thankfulness. It is a characteristic Christian aspect of life. We are to be a thankful people. We are to give thanks, we are told in Scripture, in all things. In all things. And here, specifically, the why behind the give thanks is the goodness of God. God is good. Now, what we mean by that is that God is good in His very essence. Now, I'm giving you some theological language here to grab hold of. God is good in His essence. And what we mean by that is that God does not simply possess goodness. God does not merely have goodness. God does not only exemplify or exercise goodness, but God is good. Let's contrast that with us. Jesus helped us to understand that no one is good but God. The best person you know isn't good if we compare him or her to God. That said, though we are not good in our essence because we're sinful, we can do good things. I believe probably everybody in this room has done lots of good things. We're capable of acting in a way that is good. We can be good neighbors. We can be good friends. But only God is good in His very essence. God does good because He is good. We can act in justice, but we are not just. God is just. God does not only have holiness, He is holy. God does not merely exercise love, He is love. Now I'm going to give you some theology here. Are you ready? You'll be ready for seminary after I tell you this. Here we go. Theologians call this the doctrine of divine simplicity. The doctrine of divine simplicity. You know what that means? It means that God is not made up of different parts. You know, He's got His goodness part, He's got His holiness part, He's got that bit of Him that's just, and He's got that little section over here that's righteous. God is not made up of parts. We're made up of parts. We're body and mind, but God is a whole unified essence, indivisible. He can't be broken up into component parts. Now, here's why that matters. Here's why that matters to you right now. Because God can never not be good. Because it's who He is. It's His essence. He can't lose the good part of Him. He can't stop being good because He is good. And so, no matter what our circumstances look like, and I think if we were to go around this room and ask everybody how they're doing, and everybody were to be really honest, we might have a pretty overwhelming time, right? On any given Sunday, on any given time when we're gathered together for worship, we have representations of all kinds of hard stories and sad struggles. But through it all, do we believe that God is good? That God is good? Now, let me just tell you what I struggle with. I will get up and I will preach to you, God loves you. God is good. He's always good. And I believe that 100% for you. but I struggle believing it in my own life. Is He that good to me? You know. And so I'm just letting you know, I struggle with this, and sometimes it will drive me into anxiety. And in those moments, what's going on in my divided heart is a failure to really believe in the goodness of God. That's why I say I have to keep going back to first grade Sunday school. Because what I learned in first grade Sunday school was this. I had teachers that taught me John 3:16. They taught me to memorize it. They told me what it meant. And we went over it over and over again. And every time in first grade Sunday school, when we were asked if we had a memory verse we wanted to share, everybody had John 3:16. And you start to go, okay, you know, I'm 51, I'm a pastor, I've moved beyond those simple things. Nonsense. I'm still at moments where when I'm alone by myself at night reading or writing things down, guess where I have to cling? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you wondered about those words in recent days? Have you doubted the goodness of God? If you doubt the goodness of God, then go back to John 3:16. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. Now let me ask you this. The Father who would not withhold His only begotten Son, but would send Him up as a sacrifice for us all, will He now abandon you? Of course not. Will He now decide to no longer be good? No. Because that is who He is. There was, I read this to the rest of our elders last week in a session meeting, and I just want to share it with you. Stephen Charnock is a dead guy, a Puritan, lived a long time ago, and wrote, like a lot of the Puritans, wrote very thick books. And in one of his books, his real classic, it's called The Existence and Attributes of God. Charnock writes this about God's goodness. He says, God's goodness exceeds that revealed in creation. His goodness exceeds what we can see in the created order. He says, there is more in His bounty. There is more in His ability to bless us, expressed in that one verse, God so loved the world, than there is in the whole volume of the world. It is an incomprehensible so, for God so loved. A so that all the angels in heaven cannot analyze. Isn't that a remarkable thought? That what you and I know through the testimony of God's Word, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that sinners can believe and be saved, that basic building block of our faith is a mystery that angels long to understand. And yet, He gives us that gift. One more thought from Stephen Charnock, our dead friend. He says, think about this in God sending the Son, the Father sending the Son. Charnock writes, God was desirous to hear Him groaning, that is the Son on the cross, and see Him bleeding, that we might not groan under His frown and bleed under His wrath. He spared not Him that He might spare us. Refused not to strike Him that He might be well pleased with us, drenched His sword in the blood of the Son that it might not be forever wet with our blood, but that His goodness might forever triumph in our salvation. He was willing to have His Son made man and die rather than man should perish, who had delighted to ruin Himself. He seemed to degrade Him from the time that He was. You hear what Charnock is saying? He's saying, the Father so loved us that He sent His own Son, drenched His sword in His blood, as it were, so that He might spare the people who had degraded themselves with their own sin. That is goodness. That is God's goodness. And where I need to be reminded of that is on those mornings when I wake up and I'm not sure I want to get on with the day, or those evenings when I can't quite seem to sleep, And in those dark times, I think, has God been good to me? Is God turning away from me? Has God withheld His goodness to me? And the answer is, of course not. Of course He's good to you. All I need to think of is what I learned in first grade. For God so loved you that He would not even withhold His own Son, but gave Him up for sacrifice in your place. Beloved, when you are tempted to doubt in the goodness of God, when you find it hard to give thanks to Him, remember His goodness. Remember His goodness. God is good. It is His essence. He has always been good and always will be good. Good to an infinite degree. A goodness that makes the goodness of mankind seem like pure evil. That's how good God is. And He has not and will not withhold His goodness from you. Let's pray together. And now, our Father and our God, we ask Your blessing upon us and give us faith, Lord, to trust You, to believe that You are good, so that when we are tempted to view our circumstances and conclude that You have withheld Your goodness from us, we would be corrected in that, and we might give You thanks, that we might give You thanks because You are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. Through Christ. Amen.